Hello and welcome to the fifth and very special season of Bus to Talk, the exclusive podcast of Bus to Bus. All episodes of this season were recorded in our podcast studio during Bus to Bus in April in Berlin this year. You can hear renowned experts from the bus industry, politicians and startups. I'm Kirsten Kuber-Erkens from Messe Berlin, and will be on the lookout for news and insights from the bus and mobility theme for you. I have Totinia Hörner at my side to support me. She's a freelance moderator specializing in mobility, innovation and leadership, and has been supporting us at Bus to Bus for a number of years.
Thank you very much, Kerstin, for this warm welcome. I'm delighted to be part of this exciting season of Bus to Talk and to be exploring the world of mobility with you once again. I mean, we have a lot of great things planned this season, and I'm looking forward to inspiring our listeners with exciting insights and, of course, inspiring stories. Welcome to another episode of Bus to Talk, the podcast in which we talk about what really moves the bus industry. Today, it's all about electrification in urban areas. Where do we stand here across Europe? What are the biggest challenges at the moment and what needs to be considered in the upcoming years? Our guest today will have answers to those questions. And please welcome with me Oskar Górski, Sector Manager at Eco Energetica Polska, a Polish company focused on developing and producing high-power charging solutions for electric passenger cars, buses, and HD vehicles. We're delighted you joined us today. Welcome, Oskar.
Thank you very much for the invitation. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Oskar, so we have a tradition, something we like to do before we talk about the depth of mobility. Who are you? What motivates you? And maybe we start out with getting to know you. So, Oskar, who are you?
Well, that's a wide question, let's say, but in terms of the bus, I'm on the bus sector for like 14 years already. Started with my presence in interior of the buses, so I was responsible for sales and business development in some of companies producing seats and fabrics for the buses and trains. And since 13 months already, I'm covering the bus sector at Eco Energetica Polska, one of the leaders in terms of DC charging stations for buses, trucks and EVs.
So quite some time already in the industry. What fascinates you about the mobility sector?
People, mainly. That's probably the simplest answer, but it's simply true. We sometimes say that the business cards change sometime, but the faces stays the same, and this is how it is. I mean, a lot of friend long-lasting friendships made on the bus sector in Poland, outside of Poland, in the whole Europe. So that's what makes me loving it. I really love go to exhibition in Berlin, Barcelona, or Milano, where you can meet all your friends and see a lot of familiar faces. So that's really excites me, and I love the people in the market.
That sounds good. So it seems like the bus and mobility industry is like a big family.
Yes, that's what I wanted to say. Exactly. Mm. This is a big family and very much feel like that.
Yeah, sounds good. So you have just mentioned that you've been at Kamira before, or at least I know that you've been at Kamira, really working on the interior of buses, and now you're at Eco Energetica. How did you get to EEP? Because I can say EEP, right?
Yeah, we can call it EEP, Eco Energetica Polska. That's actually quite interesting because I'm, as mentioned, like 14 years in the bus sector, and this is more or less how long Eco Energetica is present on the bus sector as well, because we as a company started like 15 years ago. And I was looking at EconEnergetyka since almost the very beginning, and I was very proud of a Polish company being so quickly developing on the market with some bright new ideas. And when the idea came to join such a company, it was probably a quick decision to start to talk to EconEnergetyka, and I'm very proud to be part of such a quickly growing company coming from Poland.
Yes, yes, yes. And since I have Polish roots myself, I can say, yes, we're very proud when we see great companies arise. So you are a sector manager at EEP. What exactly does a sector manager do?
So we do have regional sales directors, and they're responsible for all the sectors on each market. And myself, I'm responsible for bus sector on each in each region, let's say. So then the whole Europe, it's more about the strategic or about the strategic marketing, as well as business development on the markets in Europe and outside of Europe, but only for bus sector.
Okay, so it makes sense that you like to travel because you're probably around quite some.
Yes, exactly. That's the case.
Yeah. So when we look beside your job, what role does mobility have maybe in your private life, and how do you especially get around the city?
So at some point, being at my previous employer, I've realized that very often we people of the e-mobility and mobility as whole, we use our nice cars, company cars, we fly some aircrafts, and we don't touch the buses and the public transport. That's why I started to at least once a month use a bus, use a tram, use a metro. If possible, we only have two lines in Poland, so it's not that easy. But I'm trying to use the public transport as often as possible. And in terms of e-mobility, I also changed my life a little bit since I joined EconEnergetyka, because we've purchased an EV for my wife and driving in very often, weekends and not only. So we changed our life also, and looking forward to the whole e-mobility change, let's say.
And how happy is your wife with her EV?
Very happy, to be honest. It's working perfectly fine. The infrastructure for some longer trips isn't ready yet in many countries. Mm-hmm. That's something we come to a point about later on, probably. Mm-hmm. But in general, to use it right now, it's a great thing. And environmental friendly, but not only. It's just a fun.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. We'll definitely come to the infrastructure later on. But let's now continue talking a little bit about EEP. I mean, EEP is one of Europe's pioneers in e-mobility. The company has been established in 2009. So 2009 in Poland, with the sole purpose of providing charging solutions. And then you started out with electrification of the bus sector in Europe. So maybe you could tell us a little bit more about the development of EEP. How did it happen that you now went all into the bus sector, and where are you currently standing?
Yeah, that's a great success story, to be honest, because the company was founded during by two fellow colleagues from studies. They're still with the company, Mr. Bartosz Kubik and Mr. Maciej Wojeński. One, Bartosz Kubik is the CEO of the company until today, and Mr. Maciej Wojeński is the member of the supervisory board. So during their studies, 15 years ago, they had a project to electrify a diesel car and change it into battery electric. So they did it, and then they needed something to charge the vehicle as well. And that's how they came to an idea to produce and to let's say develop an AC charger at that time. So that was the beginning of EconEnergetyka Polska. And after a few years, we had a first big project for DC charging stations with one of the biggest Polish bus OEMs, Solaris Bus & Coach. And since then, so 12 years or 13 years almost already, we are only focusing on DC charging stations. So EconEnergetyka isn't doing anything else besides DC charging stations. And as the bus sector was probably the first one to electrify in Europe, probably because it was the easiest to electrify somehow, because the infrastructure was pretty close on the bus depots, so it was easier to have the charging infrastructure for the buses as well. And was, as mentioned, the bus sector was one of the first one to electrify. That was the biggest part of our DNA. at the beginning. So after the projects with Solaris, we became more and more known on the market as a DC charging manufacturer. And since then, we have a lot of great projects across the whole globe, and mainly Europe.
So what are some other projects that you're having? So just we get a bigger scope of what EEP does.
So Ekonergetyka started with on the bus sector, as mentioned, and that's probably was the biggest part of our DNA. But since then, we are present in e-trucks as well as EVs. So we are cooperating with the major CPOs, so-called CPOs, charge point operators, across the whole Europe.
So do you have a number for me? How many charging stations did you already produce, just approximately?
Actually, I've checked on our stand. It's one of the newest, let's say, straight from the yeah. production. And the serial number is 12,000 something. So
It's
10,000 plus active charging stations already.
Okay, and there are definitely more to come.
Exactly. That's actually a great example of the growth of the company, because since this year, the capacity that we are having is to produce 10,000 charging stations a year.
A year?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so you're very ambitious.
Yeah, we're trying to be, and this is how you need to be on such a quick growing market.
Definitely. So the growing market is a good point to dive deeper into, since you're in the business of bus electrification for quite a time now. Let's talk about the status quo of bus electrification in Europe. So what's your opinion? What countries are doing well? What countries should maybe get their seatbelts on and move a little bit quicker? Where do we have room for improvement when looking at Europe?
I mean, it depends. Like in general, we would like to probably say, okay, Western Europe and Scandinavia, it's slightly quicker than anyone else. But then you have some great examples of Poland, for example, or Romania, which are also very quickly developing their e-mobility market, especially for buses. So as mentioned at the beginning, it depends. You have many different places where they only just starting the electrification of the bus depots in the major cities. Like Riga in Latvia, Tallinn in Estonia, or Vilnius and Kaunas, so the Baltic countries. You have obviously, on the other hand, the Nordic countries, which are pretty well developed, let's say, in terms of electrification of the bus depots. And of course, it depends, and it's mainly focused and mainly developing because of some subsidiaries they're getting for the e-buses. And wherever the subsidiaries are stopped or blocked or delayed, let's say, probably the growth is slowing down a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's pretty clear that the Nordic countries are developing pretty fast because, well, they simply have the money. But you have also mentioned the Baltic countries. How come they're now really buckling up and increasing in speed and improving their whole infrastructure?
I think there may be few factors. They also part of the European Union, so there are some regulations that they need to fulfill on one hand, but on the other hand, we are also trying to get out of some dependency of some other fuels, conventional fuels that's on the market.
So would you say that we're developing fast enough if we're looking at the ambitious goals that we have or want to have by 2030?
No.
So plans.
Yeah, that's a simple answer again. I've checked some statistics from 2022, 2023, and if we look at some goals that are set for the whole Europe and for many countries, we are a little bit behind of the goals.
Just a little?
Maybe not just a little. I love to call it just a little, but okay. Because I still believe that we're going to get there on time, because this will give us, you know, the focus on the goals right now, because of being behind, we need to be quicker right now. So it's also a great opportunity for companies like ours to be able to serve the PTOs and PTAs across the Europe, and that's why we're also preparing our capacity for.
And what makes you think that we will still make it on time? Maybe you're probably your company that says, okay, we're just going to speed up, but what's other than that?
We have some regulations coming into force, like AFIR a few weeks ago, or maybe a week and a half ago when we're recording it. So yeah, it's some regulations of European Union that will force the companies to simply electrify slightly faster than they may be thought. And also, I think there will be some additional subsidiaries for companies like the PTOs and PTAs to electrify a little bit quicker to get to the goals that we set a few years ago.
So you're, in general, a positive person, believing that we can just...
That's how I exactly in my private life as well. I always try to be positive. So yeah, I see some movement towards the goals. So I think we should get there.
Very good. So let's talk about electrifying cities in specific. First of all, maybe the question: would you say that charging stations are rocket science?
They aren't. Rocket science. However, you need to have special expertise to be able to produce them in the right way to be able to serve such a very demanding customers, or the PTOs are. Mm-hmm. Because I think also our presence in the bus market shows the reliability of the products. And why is that? Because when you don't charge a bus, the bus simply doesn't go online, and it doesn't go to the operation. The charger isn't working. So that's why we need to have the chargers available for all the time for the bus operators.
And how do you guarantee that availability? Because as you said, their PTOs are demanding because, of course, they need to get that bus ready and charged. But how do you guarantee that availability of the charging station?
There are a few things. Firstly, we're just trying to develop our products to be as reliable as possible. We have plenty of people, hundreds of people actually, being involved into the development of the new products. That's the first thing. Then it's a quality check, and whenever the charger isn't out of the factory, we are trying to have it checked as much as possible, let's say. And then it's a matter of the right service level. So it's not only made by our own service, which we obviously have, but also by our service partner across the whole Europe. So most recently, we are getting a lot of new service partners. And thanks to the newest addition to our company, which is Ecoenergetica Training Center, we are able to train and to give a lot of certificates to new service partners across the Europe, which are able then to help us to keep the uptime, so-called uptime, of the chargers on the right level.
Mm-hmm. So, because that would have been my next question. I mean, you're saying 10,000 charging stations per year are supposed to come. How do you guarantee the quality? But you're working with subsidiaries, people that you train beforehand. Where do you train them, by the way?
Yeah, we do train them in the Ecoenergetica Training Center, as mentioned.
Where is it?
That's in Zielona Góra, close mm-hmm. to our headquarters.
So they have to come to Poland to get trained?
Yeah. Yeah, but it makes sense, I think, for them also to see the not only the training center, but also the production, also to see the local people that they are then cooperating with after they becoming the service partners. Pretty often our service partners are also distributors for our chargers in many places. So I think it makes sense for them to come to see us at place. We are also having some trainings outside of our headquarters at the depots, but it's more for the maintenance of the chargers, not for the service.
And how long does the training takes place? And
it depends on the scope of the training. If it's just the installation, let's say, of the charger, it's probably one day. If it's more than that, like a service trainings, it can be a few days, after which you are getting the certificate that you are able to provide the right level of service for our customers.
Mm. And I think one common maybe mistake or thing that is in our heads is that batteries have to work just in the same way that combustion engines have to work. And people sometimes think, okay, I'll just charge my my EV as fast as I have done it with my combustion car. So can we expect processes to stay similar or at least close to, so people get used to charging electrically faster, or how do you implement it?
Yes, I think we can somehow, because the chargers themselves, they're pretty similar to how we use the filling pump on the petrol station. And actually, we are having some projects that we are replacing the fuel distributors on the petrol stations with our chargers. And it's pretty similar. The whole process, you just need to put the plug into the car and wait until it's full. Obviously, the time for the vehicle to be full, it's slightly different than with the combustion engine. However, However, the powers available are going up, and pretty soon I think we won't see a lot of difference. And also, I just think it's a matter of changing your mindset. It's right now we're just fueling the cars, you know, whenever we just need it. And right now it's more about planning your trip. It's more about, you know, going for shopping and then at the same time charge your vehicle. Maybe it takes 20 minutes instead of 3, but if you plan it accordingly, it's no problem.
It sounds so easy, but it sometimes seems that the mindset is the hardest thing to change when talking about people. So, I mean, you've said that your wife has now an EV. How did she change her mindset? Was she just like, okay, I'm just going to plan because she likes a plan? Or how do you change a person's mindset?
Actually, it was pretty hard to convince her at the beginning, to be completely honest. And after I convinced her, I don't think she could imagine anything else than EV right now.
Okay.
Because she doesn't see any difference. It's a car as a car. We charge it at home mainly, so then it's no difference at all. Maybe it's a difference because she doesn't need to go to the petrol station at all. She charges the car at home. Mm-hmm. And in general, it's the mindset. As you mentioned, people just are afraid of the immobility. Mm-hmm. And we can see some operators across the whole continent that where the drivers, after 30, 40 years driving combustion engine buses, they're simply afraid about going into EV. We had a case in our home city where one of the drivers, because they were one of the first one to electrify in the country, he didn't want to use an e-bus because he was afraid of it. And after a few years, for the first time, there was no diesel bus on the depot because they have a lot of e-buses in Zielona Góra. And he needed to go and he needed to use an electric bus. And since then, he's only using electric bus because he said, wow, why I didn't do it for quite a few years right now. And I was afraid of that. That's more or less the same. It's more comfortable. It's silent. And, you know, it's just, you just need to drive the bus and that's it. So there's not such a big difference between driving a combustion engine vehicle than EV.
And maybe one step back, as you said, it's not going to take as long anymore as some people might believe to charge actually the car or the bus. So when will we get more speed into charging, and when will it maybe be just as fast as charging and as pumping a combustion engine?
It's not only a matter of charging infrastructure, because the charging infrastructure is more or less ready. We can't forget that in the whole process of charging, the vehicle is always the deciding part. So we only provide as much power as the vehicle can accept, whether it's a bus, truck, or personal car. So it depends on the car manufacturers as well. I mean, most of the cars, they're accepting like 120, 150 kilowatts. Like in the bus sector, it's usually 150 kilowatts via plug-in, slightly more via pantograph. But as for the CCS, so the plug, it's up to 150, 180 kilowatts. So it's more up to the bus OEMs to be able to have the more power, because we as a charging infrastructure manufacturer are ready to provide more than that.
Mm. And you've just mentioned the bus operators. So if a bus operator comes to you and says, oh, we would like to go into EV and just have EV city buses, which kind of charging station would you then advise, or do you advise, or do they have to make their own way into finding out what's best for them?
We do advise them. Very often they come to us because for them it's the first project to electrify the fleet, part of the fleet usually. And we did it for many years already. So sometimes they listen to the advices. They want to hear what we did. They want to go to the cities that we already have our infrastructure in to see how it works. And again, it depends very much on the city, on the lines, on the operations they're having in the city and outside of the city sometimes. So there are two options, actually. One is to charge overnight via CCS, which is the plug that we put into the bus. And then secondly, we can also use the pantographs, which we call opportunity charging, the quickest way to charge a bus at the moment, up to 500, 600 kilowatts of power. So it's very quick charging. And as mentioned, it depends on the topography of the city, of the approach, and very often you can easily combine both solutions as a PTO.
Mm. And when we look at Berlin?
Yeah, Berlin until today, we're part of the BVG electrification. We provided them with some chargers quite a few years ago, plug-in chargers. Right now they thinking, or at least at the moment, it seems they will be going towards pantographs as well. So overnight charging, but not via plug, but via pantograph, which is more, let's say, not so human dependent, let's say.
So would you say that there's one option that is better for the longevity of the battery?
Yeah, of course. Plug-in charging, it's better for the battery probably. So as mentioned, you can combine it because you can easily charge the bus on the lines during the day via pantograph to not drive such a heavy battery, let's say. You can have smaller battery and just charge at the end stops of the line, let's say. And then overnight you can use lower powers on the depot just to balance the battery and to have the life cycle of the battery longer.
And how does Zielona Góra does it? Because you've talked about the PTO that in the beginning really didn't want to electrify, but now kind of wants to have the whole fleet electrified. How do they do it?
Yeah, that's quite interesting example. Zielona Góra is the home city of Ekoenergetyka somehow, and also one of the first cities in Poland to electrify. Quite some time ago, I remember like 5-7 years ago, they decided to exchange all the buses to electric. They've been blocked a little bit by some of the subsidiary givers, let's say, because you know it was still in development process, the whole e-mobility, let's say, so they didn't want to be dependent only on the electric buses. But I think like 70% of the fleet has been electrified. And they were very brave about the e-mobility. And right now we are meeting pretty often. We are showing the depot of the MZK Zielona Góra to our other customers. And they're very happy about such a brave step they made a few years ago. And also, which is pretty interesting, the size of battery, let's say it's still the same. So they're still using the battery in a whole. So 100% of the batteries.
Mm-hmm. So they had to change their complete fleet. They have sold their diesel buses to 70% and then
Not at the beginning. At the beginning they wanted, but they have been blocked, as mentioned. So I think 70% of the buses has been changed. They were unfortunate because the bus OEM that won the tender bankrupted shortly after they started delivering. So they didn't deliver all the buses. Mm-hmm. I think there was 3 or 4 buses that haven't been delivered. But since then, they only buying electric buses. And I think right now it's probably 80-85% of the fleet electric. And they're very happy about it.
That's quite an investment they have made, right?
It is. Obviously, it was subsidized by European Union, and for them, it was even cheaper to use the e-buses than the combustion engine, where they wouldn't get the subsidiaries for. But they also started to invest in the photovoltaic, so mm-hmm. the solar panels they're mounting on the depot, and right now they very much independent in terms of the energy as well.
They did everything right at the right time.
Exactly. And they were able to also get the right subsidiaries at the right time, as you mentioned.
Yeah. So, Oskar, what would you say are the greatest challenges when looking at the transition to full urban electrification?
Challenges. I mean, it's not only the, let's say, some conservative part of the, you know, decision makers, obviously, but also very often it's the grid capacity. There is a lack of the grid capacity in many places, so this may be a challenge, and also the subsidiaries, because if we're going to stop it, if we're going to block it, we're not going to get there. So as mentioned, we just simply need to still be able to keep the subsidiaries on the same right level, let's say, and also energy providers needs to be capable of providing the grid to the operators, and not only operators but to the e-mobility in general.
And when talking about finances, this is always a challenge as well. And you've mentioned it already quite some time that it works when we get funding. But what if at some point we won't get funding? Will it still work to electrify whole urban centers?
I would hope so. However, we have places already where the subsidiaries have been cancelled or postponed, and some of the operators buying combustion engine buses because it's simply cheaper for them. But if the legislation will be on the right level, as well as the subsidiaries, I'm sure they're going to change and switch to the e-buses again.
Mm. And how would you advise a PTO? How can they prepare for such a transition?
Come and speak to us.
We'll call help you.
No. But in general, it makes sense, especially in you, if you're starting the whole process. I mean, we've been there, we've saw it, we did it, and we're still doing it. So we are here to advise, we are here to help, and we are here to just show you our expertise and bring you to the places that we already provided the charging infrastructure to, like Zielona Góra, for example, but many other places in Europe that we did it. So there are some great examples on the market. You just need to find them. If it's not so hard to find, and just have a look on it and just go this way.
Sounds pretty good. And I mean, the title of our podcast is called How to Create Effective Close Infrastructure for Urban Electrification. And I think you've mentioned already some points, but maybe to sum it up, how would you answer that question? How do you actually create effective close infrastructure for urban electrification?
You just need to plan accordingly. I mean, you need to prepare your place, your depot, in advance. We have many places where the grid is already provided like years before they even get electric buses, as well as we have places where they order the electric buses and they still don't have the grid capacity, which is, you know, the other way around, let's say. So you just need to prepare yourself. You just need to look for some good examples, as mentioned. You just need to make a market research, let's say, on all the vehicles that are available on the market. You just need to see whether you need a big battery in the bus going for the whole day, because you need it. You don't have the place for pantographs and opportunity charging at the end stations, or you maybe have plenty of grid capacity at the end stations and you can use pantographs. So basically you need to write your own scenario for the PTO and the bus fleet you are having, and start it from there and prepare your grid, prepare your depot, prepare your people, because it won't be a huge change, but it is a change at the end of the day, and people are very afraid of the change very often. So you just need to prepare them in advance. And we, as a charging infrastructure manufacturer, are here to help you with the charging infra, but also with the whole approach to the e-mobility.
Sounds pretty good. And to finish up our podcast, because I've learned a lot, I would really like to hear from you, maybe your vision for Europe's electrification by 2030. I mean, I've now realized that you're an optimistic person and probably see a pretty positive picture, but I think we need those positive pictures in order to get us going and really aim the goal to be reached by 2030. So what's your vision for 2030 for Europe?
So my vision would be probably that most of the PTOs, especially the biggest PTOs in Europe, they will be already electrified. If not in full, then probably in big part of the bus fleets will be electrified already. We have some great examples of PTOs that are looking to be fully electrified at that time already. I could see, you know, most of them being electrified in the big part of the fleet, as well as I can see some following PTOs and, you know, maybe some smaller countries outside of European Union, let's say, that will be also going this direction, because we will have a lot of grid already capable of providing the energy to the vehicles, as well as we will have a lot of people already in private life using EVs, so they won't be afraid of the e-mobility anymore, and hopefully we will get there.
That sounds pretty good and positive. So thank you so much, Oskar, for your insights, for inspiring us and just showing us of what could be possible in 2030. We'd like to thank you for being here. And of course, thank you for listening, and hear you soon in the next episode of Bus to Talk.
Thank you very much.
A big thank you to our guests. This concludes another episode of the fifth season of Bus to Talk. Stay tuned. We invite you to take a look at our website, www.bus2bus.berlin. There you will find all the information about Bus to Bus, as well as our podcast and newsroom. You can find more information on our show note as well. We look forward to your subscriptions, of course. See you soon, and our tip, try the bus. Thank you.